there's this misconception that print is dead. Nobody prints anymore. It's not worth spending any time or resources on print. That is actually not the case. And when you look at the data and the hard facts, print is actually a growing industry. In 2018, the global printing market, the spend was about $820.4 billion. In 2019, so just a year later, it increased to $826.5 billion.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at digital transformation consulting firm, Elevate IQ. When you think of print marketing, what comes to your mind? Perhaps flyers or coupons. But print marketing is much more than that. There have been some exciting trends lately with print marketing where the print packaging includes QR codes that can take you to a web page to improve customer experience. The print industry is way cooler than you would think. In today's episode, we have our guest Sarah Scudder from Real Sourcing Network and Roger Buck from Corporate Development Associates. They discuss some exciting trends in the print industry to create a compelling customer experience. They also discuss how print could help manufacturers increase their sales. Finally, we discuss some interesting use cases of print and how they have helped manufacturers increase profits. Let me introduce Roger and Sarah to you. Roger Buck is a 50-year veteran of the print industry and managing director at Corporate Development Associates, a merger and acquisition advisory firm specializing in the print space. He is a past recipient of the PSDA Manufacturer of the Year, PSDA Member of the Year Award, and serves as the chairman for the Print Education and Research Foundation, a non-profit foundation supporting education in the print industry. His background includes print production processes, sales management, marketing, and new product development. Roger resides in St. Louis, Missouri, with his wife, Deborah, who is a 35-year veteran in the print industry. Sarah Scudder is a president of RSM. Sarah is honored to win awards, but she is not defined by them. She loves helping procurement professionals transform the way they buy print and marketing services. She speaks at industry events, serves on panels, hosts webinars, and writes articles for Sourcing Industry Group and Procurement Foundry. Sarah created ProQ Rising, a magazine that uncovers the unique stories of doers in our sourcing community. Sarah created Procurement Talks, a monthly series that features procurement leaders. With that, let's get to the conversation.
Hey, welcome to the show, Sarah and Roger.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Roger. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, amazing. So this is the first time I am having two people on my show, and on audio, it's going to be slightly different. So what we are going to do is we are going to take one turn each time. So I'm actually going to start with you, Sarah. And can you start with your personal story and your current focus these days?
Absolutely. So I was planning to pursue a career in fashion. I love clothing and I used to do runway modeling. So I went to school in Sonoma County, so Bay Area, and I was planning to go work at an agency that produces fashion shows. And I wanted to actually eventually have my own company producing fashion shows. And my senior year, I had finished my presidency at my sorority. And I decided that I was going to do my last hurrah, my big effort in my sorority. And I co-chaired our major fundraising event called Lip Jam, where we raise a significant amount of money for diabetes research. And I had a full course load, was super involved in just about everything you could be on campus. And in order to produce the event, we needed to procure lots of printed materials. So all of the paper print, all of the promo, all of the apparel, and I had no idea how to source or buy things.
Yeah.
So I was introduced through a friend on campus to a local company that was a managed print company, meaning they would go out and source print items. So I contacted them, really hit it off and hired them to source and procure and manage all the print products that we needed for our event. Well, after the event was over, they offered me a job. And I'm thinking in my head, why in the world would I want to go into print? I don't even know what print is, let alone I have absolutely no idea what procurement or what sourcing is. And I said, that sounds so uncool. I want to go into fashion. But I also know that it's important to take every opportunity as a learning experience. So I went in and I met with the team. Yep. And I actually realized that it would be an incredible opportunity for me to come into a very, very male-dominated industry, an industry that I felt was really behind the times in technology and that didn't have really any young people. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And so I took the job. So 3 days after I graduated, I started at this local company and I was on the marketing team. So I helped kind of position the company and build the brand. And we were acquired a few years later by a much larger organization. And through the transition, I actually shifted into doing marketing procurement, which is where I would help global companies set up and execute very strategic print sourcing programs. So in both of my roles as sales and marketing and then doing marketing procurement, I thought this is really, really manual. There is a lot of email and spreadsheets and back and forth, and there's got to be a better way to manage this. So 2.5 years ago, I decided to take the entrepreneur leap and run a tech startup in the print space. And we have a very, very niche and innovative software that helps companies better buy all things print.
Okay. So now we are going to start with Roger, and I want you to touch obviously on your personal story and current focus, but moreover, I want you to touch on whether you feel print is cool or not, because Sarah definitely thinks that print is cool. And the other thing that I want you to touch on is about the male dominating aspect. Do you agree with her? Do you not agree with her? So can you start with your personal story and current focus and on those two questions?
Certainly can, Sam. Thank you. And I can agree with everything she said, but you know, my personal story was real easy. Back in the late 60s, I got into printing. My dad worked in a print shop, so I started working in the print shop, but I really wanted to be a rock guitarist. So the print shop was a way to make money to buy all my hardware and guitars and amplifiers. Yeah. Well, after a few years, I found out I was a lousy rock guitarist, but I became a pretty good printer. And that kind of started my career. In fact, I've got a picture of myself when I was 5 years old, standing in front of a crate that held a Heidelberg windmill letter press. And 10 years later, I was running the press that came in that box. So that's how my career got started. I've been in manufacturing. I've been in sales and marketing management for printing companies for over 50 years now. So when she references there are no young people in the industry, she's talking about me.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you. But no, she's absolutely right. It's always been male dominated, mainly because it was heavily manufacturing oriented. But, you know, it is changing. There are more, females and young ladies getting into it. There are more people coming up through the marketing area and the procurement area like Sarah's operation is. And print is cool. It's never lost that. I joke with printers all the time because the only time I ever hear the word print is dead is coming from a printer trying to debate the subject. I'm not sure whoever made the comment to begin with. It's not dead. It's very cool. It's got a lot of growth potential in a lot of different areas. And, you know, I'm 67 years old. I'm not quitting. I'm still having a lot of fun with it.
Okay, so I want to touch on one of the things that you mentioned, which is going to be you being young, right? But what do you feel when you see other young people coming to your industry? Do you feel excited? Do you not feel excited? Do you feel that you and Sarah are of the same age right now? What's your perspective? I mean, young people, when they're coming to your industry, you are probably going to have some feelings, Roger. So tell me, what do you feel about that?
Oh, no, I'm excited whenever we see young people come in. As a matter of fact, I sit on the advisory board of a graphic and technology department at a college back in Kansas. I get excited when I see young, new talent coming into this part of the industry. They're excited. They've got new ideas. They challenge old guys like us. It's fun. I just don't want to compete with them. They wear me out.
Okay, so Sarah, Roger is changing his story. Initially, he said that he's super young, but now he's saying he's old. So what do you feel? Is he young or is he old?
So Roger is one of my favorite people in the printing industry. I met him very early on in my career, and he's just been a tremendous resource and mentor to me. So I'm a millennial. I'm old enough to be his daughter.
Okay.
And I think it's actually a really cool meshing of age difference and experience differences, because yeah. I'm really focused on the technology procurement sourcing side, and Roger and people of his generation have so much industry knowledge about manufacturing and production and how things work. So I think there's an incredible blend to take the new millennial tech-focused up-and-comers in the industry and pair them with people who have decades of experience.
Okay, amazing. So let's talk about growth, right? This is the question that we ask every single guest, and we are going to be talking about this question in turn. So I'm actually going to start with you, Roger, now to change things a bit. So what is your perspective on growth?
Okay, business growth is tons of opportunity. You know, it depends, of course, on the manufacturer, the company, and how they approach their business growth, because you can do it through marketing, and you can certainly, there's tons of opportunities for using print in marketing or print internally to just improve operational flow and improve the profitability of the company. So there's lots of opportunities to infuse print into operations to improve your company, improve that growth. The challenge is getting the right marketing processes and the right internal processes, the right communication processes, because that's what you're talking about, is print as a communication tool. It's a matter of getting those processes in place and alive, so they're ongoing and they're self-surviving year after year. Too many companies fail in that area because it's a one-shot wonder. It fails and they never do it again.
Okay, so Sarah, now I'm going to turn back to you. Do you agree with Roger, his definition of growth? What is your perspective on growth, and how do you define business growth?
Yeah, so I'm going to take a little different perspective and talk about growth in general in the print industry, and then I'm going to relate it specifically back to the manufacturing space. So as Roger mentioned earlier, there's this misconception that print is dead, nobody prints anymore, it's not worth spending any time or resources on print. That is actually not the case. And when you look at the data and the hard facts, print is actually a growing industry. In 2018, the global printing market, the spend was about $820.4 billion. In 2019, so just a year later, it increased to $826.5 billion. In the US, the print market is growing as well. In 2018, it was about $199.4 billion. In 2019, it was about $199.6 billion. So organizations are spending more and more on print. Within that, the biggest print industry growth categories this year are packaging, labels, and direct mail. And the reason for that is consumers have shifted a lot of their purchasing habits to buy things online. So I know for me, I love fashion. I don't now go to brick and mortars. I've been on lockdown in California for a few months. When I need something, I'm going to order it online, whether that's food, whether that's ordering from a clothing manufacturer. So with the rise of online ordering, companies need to get their products to the end customer or to the distributor or to the end user. That is causing a significant increase in packaging and labels. And the third that I mentioned is direct mail. And the reason for that is so many people are now working from home. They're not going into offices at all, or they're going into offices a lot less. And I think we're going to continue to see a hybrid mix of people working from home and not. So in order for a manufacturer to get in front of an end customer, they're now sending things to their homes where they didn't used to do that as much.
Okay, so I have learned about the print industry so much, Sarah, since I came in contact with you, and it's hardly been a couple of months. And print industry is fascinating, obviously. And one of the things that I learned because of your introduction with Mark, and he does packaging, right? So one of the fascinating conversations that I had with him is just because of the changing in packaging, you can launch a new product. Completely new, brand new product. I'm sure manufacturers can do this as well, especially the manufacturers in the CPG community. So let's say if they were trying to increase their sale primarily using print, how can they do it? Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, so I'll touch on packaging first, and then there's some other really cool things that kind of tie into packaging as well. So packaging is essential to brand building and brand awareness. And so it's really important for manufacturers to spend time and resources designing packaging that is not only functional, that's going to protect the product so the customer doesn't get something damaged and then the manufacturer has to resend out a product, which of course is eating away at their profit, but also having that experience. So when the customer receives it, they're going to remember that company based on that packaging and the experience of opening the product. So I'll use an example that's close to me. So there's a shoe manufacturer called Freebird, and they make really stylish but comfortable shoes. And those two things don't always go hand in hand. And this is a higher price point. Their shoes range from $200 to $500 on average. Oh. And when you order a product from them, you're going to get a really amazing experience when you open their package because they do such a good job with packaging, with branding their packaging. So when you get the box, every part of the box is branded. It has their logo, it has the website, it has a cool message. Then when you take the shoes out of the box, the shoe box is also branded. So it's all part of that experience of this luxury higher end item. Then when you open the box, there's additional print items as well. So I think it's really important for companies. Ted Baker is another example. I recently got something from Ted Baker and the packaging is bright orange and it looks like an envelope, but it's a box. So it's really unique and stands out. So I think manufacturers can really, really increase sales by focusing on the design and coolness factor and messaging that they use to communicate on the packaging. The second thing, and I'll let Roger pipe in about QR codes. So another really important innovation that manufacturers can use is something called a QR code. And it looks like a square with a bunch of boxes. Yep. And when you put your phone over it, you put your camera on top of it, what it does is it takes the customer to a website or to another site. And I recently ordered something from a company, a manufacturer called VYZR. And they are making these spacesuits for COVID protection. They go from the waist up and they allow you to wear the suit outside and traveling and protect yourself from COVID. So when I got my product from them, there were several QR codes. Some of them were on the packaging, but some of them were also on the tags. And when you screen the QR code on your phone, it takes you to a video that shows me as the customer how to actually put the product on and how to use the item. So QR codes are another great way that manufacturers can use print as a part of packaging and other printed items to provide additional information and provide value to the customers.
Okay, so Roger, we are going to start with you now. Number one thing that we need to assess here is whether you agree or disagree with anything that Sarah said. And number two, obviously you have been around the block for a very long time. So what is your perspective on the strategies that manufacturers can use in increasing their sales using print?
Yeah, she's spot on. you know, when you're talking about engagement, whether you're using packaging or direct mail, it starts with visual. You know, someone receives a printed something. Yep. So you got visual. That generally leads them to a digital experience. So you either go online, look up something, check their order, and then you get a personal experience beyond that. They're either touching the product, they're getting it, or they're calling in to order something and they're visiting with a salesperson of some sort. So there's different levels of engagement that print drives. But, you know, a good example of like the packaging she was talking about, I always like to go back to the iPhone. If you get a new iPhone, when you pull the box open, Apple spent a lot of money developing that box because they wanted a certain amount of pull. And when you open that box, you get this little wind sound, like little, and it adds to that experience. And they spent a lot of money designing because that's what they wanted. And that creates that first customer experience even before they start using the phone. And that's what we're talking about with print and how you can increase sales is you have to think what that engagement, what that first customer experience is going to be like and how you can manage that. Now, she mentioned QR codes. You know, QR codes, I tell everybody, was a toe in the water, because what QR codes taught people is they could take their phone and they could scan something. And now you're seeing augmented reality coming around, which is QR codes on steroids. Instead of using a data matrix code, a barcode that you scan and you get driven to a website, now you put your phone over an augmented reality image and there's a marker in that image and you get a video engagement while you're looking at the page on your phone. So it's that engagement can be lifted, but you're going from a printed engagement now to a virtual digital engagement. And that starts when you start reaching those levels, that's when you start grabbing customers, you get their attention and they start buying more.
And Roger, to piggyback on that, you mentioned augmented reality, or some people know it as AR. And I think there's two industries in the manufacturing space that have really started using this. One is wine and beverage, and the second is clothing and apparel. So there are, when you go to a grocery store and you look at wine bottles, some of them now allow you to scan the label. So you're going to put your phone on the label and it's going through to a QR code. It's going to take you to a video. And yep. That video can have a message that really helps close the customer or talk about the brand. So for instance, if I was running a food manufacturing company and it was a family business, it's been around for 100 years, I might want a message from our CEO communicating and talking about our company story and some of the unique things about our food products. If I'm a wine company and I've got a cool wine collection, I might have different characters on the wine bottles and I'll have the characters speaking in their voice and communicating a story or message. So I think augmented reality is really, really key in combining print with digital to increase sales. And Roger, one of the other things that I know that you and I have talked about before is lenticular printing. And that is where you combined several images into a single print. So when you look at a product, it has an image, but when you change your angle or move the product, the image changes with it. And that's a really cool way to engage customers and really stand out amongst all your competitors.
Okay, amazing. Do you want to piggyback anything, Roger?
Yeah, you know, the lenticular is cool. A lot of people, it's been around actually since the 40s, but they've improved the technology so much now that it's gotten much more cost-effective and usable. In fact, you used to see it on cereal boxes. And the reason it was so effective is when people would walk down the aisle past a cereal box, when they went from the left side of the box to the right side of the box, the image on the box changed. So you see something subliminally out of the corner of your eye, your peripheral vision picks up, hey, something moved. And when you walk backwards, it goes back to the other way because it's a flip effect. It goes from one image to another. If you're old enough, and neither one of you probably are, but when you used to get prizes in a Cracker Jack box, that lots of times that was a lenticular image. It was a little helicopter or something that the image would flip back and forth. So yeah, it's another very cool technology, and it drives engagement and it drives people to, you want to, okay, well, that's cool. I want to pick that up and I want to take that home. I want to buy that. You can also, besides food manufacturing, let's talk auto manufacturers or manufacturers that make hard equipment. They can use QR codes or AR tags on equipment, a user, you know, someone at a plant with this piece of equipment can scan that and show how to repair something. You know, rather than having to go search out a repair manual and figure out what part you're looking at, they can move their iPhone over a part. That part can actually be the AR tag, and it can run a video to show them how to repair that part. They're doing that with vehicles right now.
Yeah.
And let's, Roger, to piggyback on that, I think let's talk a little bit about targeted direct mail, because I think that is so important for manufacturers. So I'm looking at actually some direct mail that my boyfriend received this week. And it's important because two things. It's customized specifically for him. So it's from Toyota. They know that he has a Toyota Camry. So the entire piece is targeted at Paul because they have insights and information about him and what he likes, and they know what he's purchased in the past. So instead of sending a generic postcard in the mail, they're sending him something very targeted and specific with his name, with a photo of a vehicle that he may want to purchase based on his purchase history. The other thing is this direct mail piece actually has a QR code. So I can actually hold my iPhone. Then it takes me to a website to offer me a promotion. It also gives a unique coupon code promotion, which is printed on the piece. And it specifically has his first and last name. So I think gone are the days now where companies are spending significant amounts of money just sending out bulk generic direct mail. Maybe still if you're a pizza company and you're just sending out large amounts of coupons. But in general, especially for higher ticket items, customization, which has been able to be really accelerated because of digital printing, is really important in helping manufacturers close more deals and obtain new customers.
Okay, so my audience here is going to be CFOs and COOs. They are very excited to hear about the sales aspect, but what they really care for is the bottom line. So the next segment that we are going to have is going to be related to profit. So Sarah, I'm going to start with you. So obviously, I am very excited to hear what print can do to increase the sales, but what can it do to increase the profit, let's say, find the manufacturer?
Yeah. And Sam, I think a lot of times companies think print is just kind of a wasted expense and it's only something that's used for marketing. But especially in the manufacturing space, print is an incredible resource and can actually be used to significantly increase profits. So a couple examples that I have to share about this. The first one is about inventory control and reducing inventory obsolescence. So if you are producing large amounts of product and storing it in a warehouse or fulfillment center, one of the challenges that you have is having to destroy and pay for product that you actually never used. And that can be a significant cost to organizations. Through the use of barcoded labels and labels incorporating something called RFID tags, you can actually much better manage your inventory and reduce obsolescence. The other thing that you can do is barcodes can be used in production to manage and improve workflow. Improved workflow can have a very, very positive impact on the bottom line. And then in regards to manufacturers that are producing products that maybe expire or that can go bad, I know, for instance, I like hummus. Well, my hummus in my fridge has a shelf life.
Yeah.
And at some point that product is going to expire, but it also needs to be kept at a certain temperature before I buy the product to make sure that when it gets to my fridge, that it's not going to be bad. It's not going to be moldy. So you can actually use printed labels to help track the temperature on products or other factors as well, other than temperature, to realize what the product may have been exposed to.
Okay, so Roger, we are going to start with the same question with you as well. Obviously, you are going to have very different perspective just because you have been around the block for a very long time. So tell us, do you agree with Sarah? Do you not agree with Sarah? And what are other use cases that you have seen in increasing the profit for manufacturers using print?
I really like the way you keep reminding me I've been around a very long time. That's really good. Yeah. No, I'm in total agreement. But there's a couple of other areas, and you mentioned that, you know, some of the listeners are going to be chief financial officers, and you really want to look to save your money. And yeah. I'm going to go back real quick to an analogy that Sarah referenced for pizza companies. When you're a pizza company, you probably are marketing to people within a specific geospace, because once you get 5 miles from your pizza location, there's going to be another pizza location. So your target area is very secluded. It's very geo-based within an area. And a lot of companies spend a lot of money doing big mass mailers and everything, and they mail to people who are never going to come because you're mailing too far away. And the post office has a really cool little process called EDDM. It stands for Every Door Direct Mail. It allows companies who have a very small geo area to do very inexpensive mailings to a pocket of people just in their immediate zip code areas. And that can save a company a lot of money at the end of the day, because they're mailing to people who are never going to drive to that location. On the flip side of that, if you're a company and you're selling Maseratis, there are very few people that are probably going to go buy a Maserati. It's not going to be geo-based, but you're going to have to get the attention of someone who can afford a Maserati. And you can send video postcards or video brochures where, when the recipient gets it, they open it up. There's a screen there the size of an iPad. It's a high D screen. It automatically plays a video talking about the aspects of a Maserati or a Lamborghini or whatever the vehicle might be. Well, that's highly, highly engaging, but you're targeting it very, you might only send out 50 or 100 of these on a regular basis, because you're targeting very, very specific people who will appreciate the vehicle and, more importantly, can afford the vehicle. And that saves you money, because you're not mailing to a whole ton of people that will never be able to afford one. And we see that all the time in the direct mail world. People are mailing product offerings to the completely wrong recipient. You know, so that's one way to do it. You know, another aspect that we probably ought to touch on is, if you're a manufacturer of almost any sort of product, you're probably being impacted by counterfeiting. Product counterfeiting in the United States is absolutely huge. I think it crossed $300 billion now. And a lot of people don't realize how that can impact it. But I'll give you a quick story example of this. Yeah. I worked on a project a number of years ago with a security company, and the client was a manufacturer of recliner chairs, and they were getting fake recliners back into the repair department because they were being sold on the open market as one of their chairs, and the hinge system in the chair would break, and that chair would come back into their repair department, and they had a hard time telling if it was one of their chairs or not, because the counterfeit was so good, and they had no way to authenticate it. So they actually ended up using a series of security tags and labels inside this, so when it comes back into the repair department, they could scan it and really authenticate it and find out whether it was not one of their hinge devices or not. So loss from counterfeiting is another thing manufacturers need to take a hard look at.
Yeah, and a couple other things, Roger. What are your thoughts on one of the other things that I've seen manufacturers starting to do is use printed GPS tags? Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen in regards to manufacturers using those types of tags?
You know, it's getting more and more frequent, both GPS and NFC tags. And NFC is near field communication tags. You know, NFC tags require a shorter distance between the tag and the scanner. GPS can be, you know, read at longer distances. I've seen more GPS tags now on skids, and I'm seeing it on rail cars. As a matter of fact, if you walk through a local Costco or Sam's Wholesale, and if you look at the skids on the bottom of all the underneath all the shelving and everything, look on the side of the skid. The skid's probably going to be a plastic material. And on the side of that, you'll see one of these GPS tags. And what they're doing now is giving them better inventory control, because they can track the skids as they're literally in transport, whether they're in transport on a truck going down the highway or a train or sitting in the Costco warehouse. So yeah, that's tracking in real-time delivery, what they call last mile deliveries, this is going to be driving an awful lot of that.
Yeah. One of the other things, Sam, that I've seen manufacturers starting to do to improve profit is focus on safety.
Okay.
So we have some clients that are in the manufacturing space that do major production and have pretty large facilities, and there have been some pretty major safety issues. People coming into work and getting really injured. And that's a big problem. And that can be a huge, huge impact on a company's profit, not only from dealing with people out on disability, having to bring in temp labor, but also potential lawsuits and things that can come from it. So one of the things that companies can do is use wide format printing to provide wayfinding directions inside their facilities. So what it does is it makes sure that there's signage on the walls, signage on the floors, making sure that all of the employees that are working in the production facility or the warehouse and fulfillment center are really focused on safety and making sure they're warned of any dangers that may take place.
Okay, amazing. Roger, do you want to piggyback anything there by any chance? Do you have any other comments?
Yeah, I will, because when you're talking about profit, there's two ways to do profit. You can either increase profit or you can reduce cost.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's various types of cost, and there are some subliminal costs that are a little bit difficult to track. And that has to do with, you know, your employees and your staff and how well they like their work environment and how they work within that work environment. Do they enjoy it? Are they stuck into a little cubicle and they have a hard time focusing because it's not fun, if you will? Good example is I've got a friend of mine that owns a company, and he's got a wide open front office space, and it's really nice, big open. It's typical cubicles and everything, but it was flat boring, and his work staff is relatively fairly young. So he wanted to give them that industrial look that, you know, so many millennials like to work in. So what they did is they painted their walls with a special material that would accept magnets. And then they went to a wide format printer, and they had wall graphics printed to look like brick. And it looks like old brick. And then they came in and they just literally slapped these up. The magnetic material of the substrate adheres to the walls. And within a couple of hours, this entire office was converted to what looks like an old brick warehouse. And all the people in there, they enjoy it. They like coming in. It gives them better, just more creative ideas because the environment changed. And if they ever want to change the environment again, all they have to do is go back, print some more magnetic wide format graphics, slap them up on the wall again. So, you know, you can get some subliminal dollars and increase your profit by making your workers just in a better space like that. It's kind of a cool little tactic that has more to do with improving employee morale and trying to reduce some of that cost that might be due to lost efficiencies, as opposed to just trying to raise your percentage points on your margin a little bit.
Yeah, Roger, great example. And I have a similar example. So my sister just started at a new company 2 weeks ago. She lives here in the Bay Area as well. And one of the things, because of COVID, most of the tech companies are completely shut down. And so you're having challenges with team members being remote. And this is even in the manufacturing space, where you may now have remote sales teams, remote channel partners, people who are not necessarily coming into the office every day. And so what they did is they used print to create this really cool welcome kit for my sister. So at her house, it was delivered, and I haven't seen it yet, but it was some really cool box with a QR code. And then there were all these really cool, unique branded items in the box, things that she could actually use for her day-to-day work. So I just thought that was a really unique idea. I mean, it was so cool that she actually texted us about it and said, I got this really cool thing delivered to my office and they want to make me feel welcomed. And they're using print as a way to do that. So I think employee engagement, you can do a lot using print to really make people feel engaged and stay connected.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And that is so exciting. But we are about time here, guys. So Roger, I'm going to start with you. Do you have any last minute closing thoughts by any chance?
For the people that are listening to this, they need to take a hard look at their print usage, both internally and externally. You can save money internally. They can certainly generate sales externally. Every business is different. Every channel is different. Every customer is different. You have to understand your customer base. You have to understand what version of content, text, images is going to impact that recipient. But if you do your homework on that and get with the right print vendor or print supplier, it works. It's been proven for years and years. And the one thing I always remind people is there's no delete button on your mailbox. You know, right now, digitally, you know, emails and text messaging has just gotten overboard and people are just not responding to it. And that's why direct mail and print marketing is becoming more and more viable every day is it just, it has to be seen. When it gets in your mailbox or in your hands, you have to physically dispense of it. You don't just hit a button on a keyboard.
Okay, Sarah, so I'm actually going to start with you now. Do you have any last minute closing thoughts by any chance?
Yeah, so being that I'm on the procurement side in the print industry, I would encourage manufacturers to think about using print-specific technology to source and procure all the print that you use to significantly reduce costs and increase efficiencies. So the old way of sending an email or sending spreadsheets, there's many more innovative solutions in the market that can help you better source and procure buying the printed materials that you need.
Okay, my personal takeaway from this conversation is going to be print is really cool. On that note, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate Roger and Sarah.
Enjoyed it as well. Appreciate it, Sam. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Sam.
I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Roger, head over to printmergers.com. It's printmergers.com. If you want to learn more about Sarah, head over to rsnetwork.com. It's rsnetwork.com. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. If anything in this podcast resonated with you and your business, you might want to check other related episodes, including the interview with Aman Elani from Sahol Cold Brew, who discusses the unique challenges and important metrics for a consumer brand and a food and beverage company. Also, the interview with Kevin Lawton from the New Warehouse podcast, who discusses why standardization plays a key role in inventory planning. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.